Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our discussion of potential passages from Sula by Toni Morrison. This is a short passage by comparison, and this is actually one of the few that's dialogue from Sula that I chose. Lonely, ain't it? Yes, but my lonely is mine. Now your lonely is somebody else's, made by somebody else and handed to you. Ain't that something? A secondhand lonely. I just love that. I don't know why I love that so much, but I do. It's something about, you know, creating and owning your own loneliness and not, you know, what's the word when you co-opt someone else's pain, you know? It's like, this is interesting.
Yeah, this was one that made my list as well. And I think it's honestly because of the phrase secondhand lonely.
I know.
It's so intriguing.
Yeah, a secondhand lonely. I mean, I could visualize, you know, someone writing a song with just the prompt of a secondhand lonely, you know, I mean, that's just be like a Patsy Cline tune or something, you know, you just almost think, wow, that's timeless. A secondhand lonely. I love that one. So, you know,
I'm going to highlight that phrase.
I know. Secondhand lonely. It's so hard.
Well, it does sound like a country song.
Well, you know, or a blues, you know, a Billie Holiday blues kind of. I mean, I don't know. I just was like, that's just amazing. And and I love that this specifically kind of the dialogue between the two women, lonely, ain't it, is one woman, right? And it's the comeback that I love. Yes, but my lonely is mine. Now your lonely is somebody else's, made by somebody else and handed to you. Ain't that something? A secondhand lonely. I love that comeback.
It's also, she's gatekeeping loneliness.
I know.
She's gatekeeper.
Yeah. And you know, you, even though this is, you don't get the prior dialogue, you know that first speaker who says lonely, ain't it? You know, it's supposed to be putting the second speaker in her place, if you will. You know, something has happened in the dialogue that first speaker is saying, lonely, ain't it? Like, you know, hey, see, I know everything. I'm telling you, isn't this lonely? This is the reality. Lonely, ain't it? And then that second speaker comes back with just the ultimate, like, pushback, you know? It's really cool. Okay. Mm-mm-mm. Okay, now this one, I might have a typo in there, don't I? Yeah, okay. This one had a typo in it. I had to fix that. All right. Okay, here we go. Pain took hold. First, a fluttering as of doves in her stomach, then a kind of burning, followed by a spread of thin wires to other parts of her body. Once the wires of liquid pain were in place, they gelled and began to throb. She tried concentrating on the throbs, identifying them as waves, hammer strokes, razor edges, or small explosions. Soon, even the variety of the pain bored her, and there was nothing to do, for it was joined by fatigue so great she could not make a fist or fight the taste of oil at the back of her tongue. Ow. Wow. How do you feel about this one?
I think, again, that specificity there of identifying them as waves, hammer strokes, razor edges, small explosions, that to me has a lot of artistic possibility.
Yeah.
And I don't remember that we so much in the past have ever had a quote like this where it dealt with physical pain.
Physical sensation of any kind. Mm-hmm. But yeah, well, I suppose we've had, you know, in some of our more romantic passages in the past, we've had, you know, sensations of love and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, this one stuck out to me, and on a personal note, because there's something about that description of the spread of thin wires to other parts of her body, and once the wires of liquid pain, because I because of my health problems, I have a lot of just generalized all over body pain. And there was something about this that, you know, once I started reading this, I was like, oh my God, this is a great description of a kind of hard to describe physical pain. Because there are times when I'll say to my, you know, I'll be, you know, kind of shuffling around the house, you know, like a little old crone or something. My husband will be like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, everything hurts, you know, and I just have no way to express, you know, what that feels like or what that means. And like you said, the specificity of throbs and waves and, you know, hammer strokes, all the LS, it's just like, wow. And then, but the part that really got me was then soon even the variety of the pain bored her. And there was nothing to do, for it was joined by fatigue so great she could not make a fist or fight the taste of oil at the back of her tongue. And if anybody out there has ever had a kind of chronic, constant pain, physical pain, I mean, that's this just blew my mind. I was like, that's exactly how you feel. You can't even be the pain itself bores you, and it's because of the fatigue that it wears you down, you know. And I'm like, oh my God. So I this is probably personally high on my list, but I guess you could, you know, maybe it's also so kind of negative. I'm like, ooh, I don't know if that's a good choice for the project, you know what I mean? So I love it, but I'm not sure how it goes with the project. I just had to get it discussed a little bit,
you know? Sure. I would personally rank this in kind of our second tier right now, meaning okay. I love the quote. I think what I like most about us is it opens up an angle that we never have opened before.
Yeah, it is so unique. It is so unique. Yeah,
it is. I feel like some of the other passages are a little bit more representative of the book as a whole.
Yes, and also probably have a lot more in the way of artistic inspiration for a variety of creative outlets. This one might not speak to everybody as much as I feel it speaks to me, you know? So, yeah. All right, okay. On to the next quote from Sula. The sealed window soothed her with its sturdy termination, its unassailable finality. It was as though for the first time she was completely alone, where she had always wanted to be, free of the possibility of distraction. It would be here, only here, held by this blind window high above the elm tree, that she might draw her legs up to her chest, put her thumb in her mouth, and float over and down the tunnels, just missing the dark walls, down until she... that doesn't seem like... down until... that quote can't be right. I must have a typo in there. Down until something, a rain scent, and would know the water was smelled. I bet that's what that is. Down until she smelled a rain scent and would know the water was near. And she could curl into its heavy softness and it would envelop her, carry her, and wash her tired flesh always, always. Let me look in my book and see if I can, on the page number I have for that, because I typed these up from the book, and so I have a typo apparently. Pain, okay.
I love the echo of always, always.
Until she met a rain scent. Oh my, that's better than smelled. let me fix that. Until she met.
I got it.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I screwed up that reading that quote aloud because I had a typo. But there's, I mean, this is one of those passages that not necessarily a positive. It's got a lot of negative, you know, kind of downer feeling to it, but it's so beautifully written. And it's so specific, you know, in so many ways. It's describing, you know, feelings, almost like psychological or emotional feelings, but with very physical realities, the walls, the windows, the legs up to her chest, the thumb in her mouth, dark walls, you know, I mean, rain scent, water. I mean, it's all very physical, tired flesh, you know, but I think it, to me, it is physical descriptives of internal, soulful, emotional, psychological feelings and stuff. So what do you think?
I am going to put this in my top tier for one very specific reason.
Tell me.
Comparing and contrasting this to the yellow wallpaper.
Yes.
And that sealed room. Yes. Is it a sort of prison or is it soothing?
Yeah, I thought of that too. So I'm glad we have the same connection. Join us next time as we continue our discussion of potential passages from Sula by Toni Morrison.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.